Initially, there was a trial looking at switching in 2 to 3 years with exemestane. At least it was a major trial. There was a smaller study of anastrozole. And now we've seen another trial looking at anastrozole, again, 3,000-plus patient study. When you are going to switch somebody at 2 to 3 years or during the first 5 years, which agent are you utilizing?
I tend to use exemestane because there are published data. It was a large trial. So I tend to use exemestane.
And I'm going to guess you use letrozole the way most people do. Yes. They're going to use an AI after 5 years.
Yeah, so after 5 years, I tend to use letrozole. And I would say I have an awful lot of patients who, upon being presented the information, want to be on letrozole.
Do you use any of the computer models online to sort of pull numbers, particularly the Peter Rabdin's adjuvant models, to show to patients?
I do. So I use Peter Rabdin's adjuvant model. Whether I show it to patients or not is individualized. What I will generally do is run the numbers and sort of give a patient a feel for the magnitude of benefit. And depending on their interest, I can show them the numbers with the caveats that these are estimates that, you know, her tumor has characteristics that we know about that aren't included in the model. But I will share those with the patients if that's what they seem to want.
One of the newer features there is calculating these numbers after 5 years of tamoxifen in terms of the impact of letrozole. Do you use that also?
I have just started to use that. And I have not, in general, shared that with patients. I've done it primarily just to help myself get a feel for the magnitude of benefit because we don't have any other really good models or even intuition about what to expect at that situation.
When you sort of played around with the different cases to sort of see how the numbers flesh out, what have you seen in terms of, you know, for example, patients who are originally node positive, node negative, age? What are some of the factors that seem to sway the numbers the most?
The benefit, even in node negative patients, ends up, you know, a few percent in many cases. So that I have tended to use it even in node negative patients. If you have node positive patients, the risk is higher. And that's a group in which there's also a survival advantage. And I've told patients that as well. So that certainly in the node positive patients, but in many of the node negative patients as well. And it does seem to be similar prognostic factors that we see with recurrences prior to 5 years.
Another thing we saw in the survey looking at premenopausal women in terms of hormone therapy, as you raise the risk, increase the number of nodes, maybe make the tumor HER2 positive, people using more ovarian ablation and also ovarian ablation plus aromatase inhibitors. And I would say, generally speaking, we saw more aggressive hormonal therapy in the research leaders in the community, but both groups had people who were, you know, utilizing more intensive therapy with multiple node positive, HER2 positive tumors. What are your thoughts about that kind of strategy?
To my mind, the standard treatment for a premenopausal woman in terms of hormonal treatment is tamoxifen. And there's a strong rationale to consider ovarian ablation. Ovarian ablation plus tamoxifen seems to be better than either alone in metastatic disease, so it's logical to think that it would be the same in the adjuvant setting, but really the data to that effect are not convincing. And similarly, adding an aromatase inhibitor to ovarian ablation makes a lot of sense, and it's being studied. So I have tended to present tamoxifen as standard treatment, and then present in one of these adjuvant studies looking at these newer regimens as an experimental treatment. So I tend not to use ovarian ablation or aromatase inhibitors in premenopausal women off study.